إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله ما لنا رب سوى
الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا عبد القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين أجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وَجَعَلَنَا مِنْ أَعْوَانِهِ وَأَنْصَارِهِ. In the last session we talked about the significance of knowledge and the merits of the ulama based on some hadith from Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam cited in the second volume of Biharul Anwar. This starts with the beginning of the volume. And all the hadith that we quoted and we are going to quote inshallah tonight are from tafsir of Imam Hassan al-Askari alayhi salam. We had hadith from Rasulullah, from Amirul Mu'minin, from Lady Fatima. And I think the last hadith was the hadith from Imam Hassan al-Mushtaba alayhi salam, in which Imam alayhi salam said, فَضْلُ كَافِ لِيَتِيمِ آلِ مُحَمَّدْ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَآلِهِ الْمُنْقَطِعِ عَنْ مَوَالِيهِ الناشب في رتبة الجهل يخرجه من جهله ويوضح له ما اشتبه عليه على فضل كافل يتيم يطعمه ويسقيه كفضل الشمس على السها. This was the last hadith that we explained. I just repeat for the sake of reminding ourselves of the hadith. Imam makes a comparison between someone who looks after orphans who are in need of food and drink. Imam says, if there is a person who looks after an orphan and provides him with food and drink, and there is an alim who looks after our orphans and provides them with guidance and knowledge, they are very much different. The difference between a person who looks after an orphan who is in need of guidance and the one who just gives food and drink is like the difference between sun, which is shining and giving light, and just having, you know, a little light in the air. Big difference between the two, because one is to help someone with his physical life, with his survival, the other one is with guidance and faith. This was the last hadith. I don't want to repeat that. I go to the next hadith, which is from Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Again, the late Allama Majlisi quotes from Tafsirul Imam al-Askari, and Imam Askari alayhi salam, according to this narration, says, قال الحسين بن علي عليه السلام. Imam Hussein عليه السلام said, من كفل لنا يتيما قطعته عنا محبتنا باستتارنا or محنتنا باستتارنا. The one who looks after one of our orphans that has lost connection with us because of our love to be covered, to be hidden from people who are not trusted, or he has been disconnected from us because of mihnatuna, because of our difficulties. So who is one of our followers but has no access to us? If someone looks after this orphan of us, فواساه من علوم التي سقطت إليه and shares with him. مباسات means to share with someone what you have. He shares with him some of the knowledge, من علومنا, some of the knowledge that has come to him. So he has received some of our knowledge, he shares with the people who is in need, who are in need. حتى أرشده وهداه. This is very important. This sharing of knowledge must end with guidance. You don't want you know, just to give them some information or leave the job, you know, half the way, unfinished. You have to finish the job by making sure that the person has understanding. Of course, after he has the understanding, then it's a matter of him or her accepting or not. But you have to complete the job by passing on enough of guidance and knowledge that that person would be able to find his path. So, all this is the conditional clause. This is جملة شرطية. من كفل لنا يتيما قطعته عنا محبتنا أو محنتنا باستطارنا فواسا. Then قال الله عز وجل. This is the result. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, he says, يا أيها العبد الكريم المواسي. O servant of mine who is generous and who shares what he has. The main generosity is generosity in giving knowledge, in sharing your knowledge. Allah says, أَنَا أَوْلَى بِالْكَرَمِ مِنْكِ. If you have been generous with your knowledge, I am more generous than you. I am supposed to be more generous than you. اجعلوا له يا ملائكتي في الجنان بعدد كل حرف علمه ألف ألف قصر. Then Allah says to the angels to make for this alim who has shared his knowledge with the people and tried to guide them. Allah says to the angels, make for him, for every letter of knowledge that he has taught, 1,000,000 palas. You shouldn't be surprised, you know, 1,000,000 palas for one letter, because it's just a matter of showing the greatness. Otherwise, even 1,000,000 palas or 1,000,000,000 palas does not really show the greatness of guidance. This is the way we can understand, because as you remember, we said last week, there is no way to evaluate, to measure the value of something like guidance with anything like money or jewelry or building or trees and so on and so forth. وَضُمُّوا إِلَيْهَا مَا يَلِيقُ بِهَا مِنْ سَائِرِ النِّعَمِ. Not only make for him 1,000,000 palaces, but also add to it whatever suits that from blessings. For example, the first thing that you need if you have 1,000,000 palace is furniture. If you are given 1,000,000 palace without furniture, how are you going to use it? You need lots of carpet, you know, sofa, you need fridge, then you need, you know, servants, you need lots of things. So, ضُمُّ إِلَيْهَا مَا يَلِيقُ بِهَا مِنْ سَائِرِ النَّعَمِ. Perhaps he needs such a huge place so that he can also welcome in heaven his students and the people who have learned from him. The next hadith is from Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam. So he follows the order of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam one by one. After Imam Hussein, then قال علي بن الحسين عليه السلام أوحى الله تعالى إلى موسى. This is a very famous hadith. We have it in many books, and I very much like this hadith because it gives us a guideline for talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think this hadith shows that Whenever you want to talk about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it's a public lecture, it's a series of lectures, a lesson, it's for non-Muslims, you should try to do it in the way that would end with people loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important that they come to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way to come to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to remind them of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the favors that Allah has had upon them. Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, "Awhallahu ta'ala ila Musa." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to Prophet Musa, he had a communication with Prophet Musa. As you know, Allah had different ways of communicating to the prophets. One was through the prophetic revelation in the form of their books, their message, but also he had some personal conversation in the form of Hadith Qudsi. So Allah said to Musa, "Habibni ila khalqi wa habib khalqi ilayya." Make my people love me and also make them lovable to me. So make them in the way that I love them and also speak about me in the way that they love me. So what I expect from you, Musa, is to make a connection between me and my people, a connection of love, not just information. You know, sometimes we give information about God to people, but just giving information is not enough. Or na'uzu billah, we even don't give them information, we confuse them about God. This is not good. Or we make them frightened of God. This is not good. Anything should end with loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. They should love Allah more, and therefore they try to do good things, then Allah would love them more. So if you are a successful alim, if you are a successful preacher, after you go somewhere for Muharram or months of Ramadan, you give series of lectures, when you come out from that place, people should love Allah more, and also Allah should love them more because they are now improving. This is a test for every person. So Allah said, "Habibni ila khalqi," make me lovable to my people, make them love me, "wa habib khalqi ilayya," and make my people lovable to me. قَالَ يَا رَبِّ كَيْفَ أَفْعَلَ. Musa alayhi salam didn't feel embarrassed to ask, you know, how should I do it? He didn't say, okay, I will do it. No, he said, please tell me, how can I do this? يَا رَبِّ كَيْفَ أَفْعَلَ. قَالَ ذَكِّرْهُمْ آلَائِي وَنَعْمَائِي لَيُحِبُّونِ. The best thing is to remind them of my blessings, of my bounties, my favors upon them. You know, you can talk about greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, in His creation. You can talk about the magnificence of the creation of Allah. But this doesn't necessarily make them love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah? You know, if I tell you that, for example, a person has billions of dollars, lots of factories, maybe he becomes interesting to you. But if I say he has given you $100, then you love him. Because most of us, you know, think about what we have received from this person. It doesn't matter to us how much he has. How much he has given me. This is the main thing. So if I say, you know, this person is a billionaire, okay. It's none of my business. If I say, no, this person has left you a check of $100, then he's in the, oh, he left a check of $1,000, he loves him. If say, no, $1 million, he falls in love, he becomes mad for him. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلَسَوْفَ يُعْطِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَى. Allah gives you, then you will be pleased. So it means that one way, or the most important way of pleasing human beings, is to give them. If you give them, they will be pleased. So Allah said, remind them of what I have given them, then they will be pleased. ذَكِّرْهُمْ آلَائِي وَالنَّعْمَائِي
لَيُحِبُّونِ, so that they love me. Unfortunately, we tend to forget or even ignore and overlook the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We take things for granted. You know, when we are healthy, we don't have any problem with our sleeping, with our diet, with walking, moving. We think these are all happening, you know, automatically. We take them for granted. When people respect us, when we have good children, good family, good friends, we take them for granted. We need someone to remind us. Unfortunately, we don't remind ourselves. Job of a good friend, a good teacher, a good alim is to remind people of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So ذَكِّرْهُمْ آلَائِي وَنَعْمَائِي لَيُحَبُّونِ فَلَئِن. Okay, then what you gain is this. So you make this relation of love between me and my people, and then you yourself will gain. فَلَئِن تَرُدَّ آبِقًا عَنْ بَابِ أَوْ ظَالًا عَنْ فَنَارِ. If a person who has run away, who has escaped from my door, you bring him back. Or a person who has not run away but is misguided, has lost the path, he doesn't know how to come back. You know, someone, you have a servant, sometimes he runs away. Sometimes you have a servant, you send him for a mission, but he doesn't find the way back. Zal is the one who doesn't find the way going back. He doesn't want to be far from you, but he doesn't know how to get back to you. So abiq, the one who deliberately leaves you and wants to run away. Zal is the one who has lost the direction. If you bring one of such people back to me, أَفْضَلُ لَكْ مِنْ عِبَادَةِ مِئَةِ سَنَةٍ, is better for you than worshipping 100 years. Guiding one person, reconciling between one person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who is confused, a person who doesn't love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person thinks, you know, that Allah doesn't care for me, doesn't love me. You explain for him, you make him love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is better than 100 years of worshipping Allah. But not normal years that you fast 1 month and, you know, every day 17 rak'ah. No. مِعَةِ سَنَةً بالصيام نهارها وقيام ليلها. 100 years that every night you do tahajjud, you don't sleep, and every day you fast. So all our ibadah during the life would not be even 1 year like this. قال موسى عليه السلام ومن هذا العبد الآبق منك. For sure he was interested. He said, you know, who is this آبق? Who is the one who has run away? قال العاصي المتمرد. The one who is disobedient, who rebels against my will. قال فمن الضال عن فنائك. Who is the one who has been misguided, who has deviated? قال الجاهل بإمام زمانه تعرفه والغائب عنه بعدما عرفه الجاهل بشريعة دينه تعرفه شريعته وما يعبد به ربه ويتوصل به إلى مرضاته. The one who is misguided is the one who doesn't know the imam of his age. Because you get the direction from your imam, from your leader. And it must be your existing imam, because direction is something that must be always updated. You cannot say, I had direction up to last year, this is enough. I have direction up to yesterday, this is enough. No. Every moment you need to have direction. If you have a compass, it shows the direction. If this compass was good for tens of years, but from today it doesn't show the direction, this is useless. You cannot say, because of tens of years of showing the direction, still I follow it. No. As soon as you lose the connection, you don't have the direction, then you cannot be followed. Mu'min is also like a compass, always must find the direction. Of course, this is a beautiful discussion. We need to discuss it sometime, that how a mu'min can find his direction. Part of it is to find out the good people. You know, imagine if you are taken from one place in the world and you are put in another place. For example, you have to migrate to another country. When you were here, you knew who are the ulama, who are the good people, what you are supposed to do, whom you should distance from, everything you knew. When you are put in a new condition, it's like taking a compass and putting in a new place. One of the things that you have to quickly find out is to find good associates, the people who are already tuned to the same direction. Good community, good ulama, and find out then the will of Imam alayhi salam, and dedicate yourself to Imam. So, a person who has unfortunately lost the knowledge and understanding and recognition of Imam, he is the dhal, he is the misguided, and you teach him. You show him the Imam. وَالْغَائِبْ عَنْ بَعْدَمَا عَرَفَ. Oh, he knows the Imam, but he has left the Imam, he has lost the connection, he has missed. Or الْجَاهِلْ بِشَرِيعَةَ دِينَي. He doesn't know the ruling of his religion. He's a Muslim, but he doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know his practical responsibility, his rulings. تُعَرِّفُهُ شَرِيعَتَهُ. You teach him his faith, and here we mean practical side, we mean the jurisprudential side of it. وَمَا يَعْبُدُ بِهِ رَبَّهُ. By which he can serve his Lord and reach his pleasure. وَيَتَبَسَّلُ بِهِ إِلَى مَرْضَاتِهِ. Okay, so far is what Imam Zainul Abidin quoted from a conversation between Allah and Musa alayhi salam. Then Imam himself says, قال علي بن الحسين عليه السلام فأبشروا علماء شيعتنا بالثواب الأعظم والجزاء الأوفى. Then Imam alayhi salam makes a connection to the ulama, to the people who have knowledge in the community of Ahlul Bayt. Imam says, there is a bashara for you, there is a good news, a glad tidings for you, that you will inshallah get the greatest reward and the most abundant reward for what you do. The same thing that Allah said to Prophet Musa can be extended to any alim who does so. It's not just for that particular time. Any person who can bring a disobedient servant of Allah back to him, or a person who has been misguided back to him, it would be better for him than 100 years of worshipping while every day he's fasting and every night he's praying. The next hadith is from Imam Baqir alayhi salam. Al-alim كَمَنْ مَعَهُ شَمْعَةٌ تُضِيءُ لِلنَّاسِ. The example of alim among the people is the example of a person who carries a candle, a torch, light. He carries light. فَكُلُّ مَنْ أَبْصَرَ شَمَعَتَهُ دَعَى لَهُ بِخَيْرٍ. When it's dark, people cannot see anywhere, and they benefit from the light that this alim is carrying, they will pray for him. دَعَى لَهُ بِخَيْرٍ.
كَذَلِكَ الْعَالِمُ مَعَ شَمَعَةٍ تُزِيلُ ظُلْمَةَ الْجَهْلِ وَالْحَيْرَةِ.
Alim is the one who carries the light, and with this light there would be no darkness, no confusion. I mentioned this also before. The job, the responsibility of alim is not only to teach but also to clarify. Hayra is very destructive. You know, sometimes people have knowledge of the theories, of the principles, but still they don't know what to do. Even sometimes some ulama, they don't know what to do. They know all the general rules and guidelines, but what am I supposed to do in this particular context? This is very difficult. This is wisdom, this is hikmah that we need. An alim must try to help people to get rid of confusion. People should not be perplexed. People should understand, because when you are perplexed, then you become useless. You don't know what to do. You know, if you have the best means and resources, but you don't know what to do, either you end up with doing nothing, or you may do something which is not the best. It's very important to have direction. Hayra is very sad thing that can happen, and unfortunately some people who have access to member and to public, you know, platforms, sometimes they confuse people. They criticize what people have received from ulama, traditional ulama, and they themselves don't have anything to offer, something, you know, authentic. Then people are confused. Neither they have the traditional understanding, nor they have anything authentic and reliable to replace.
فَكُلُّ مَنْ أَضَاءَتْ لَهُ فَخَرَجَ بِهَا مِنْ حَيْرَهُ أَوْ نَجَى بِهَا مِنْ جَهْلِ فَهُوَ مِنْ أُتَقَائِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ.
Every person that this alim has illuminated the path for him, has taken him out of confusion or out of ignorance, is one of the people that he has freed from hellfire. You know how important it is if in dunya you can free a slave. When there was a slavery, you know, Islam very much recommended freeing the slaves. Indeed, one compensation for some of the sins was to free a slave. But this is a slave in dunya. If you can free someone from hellfire, it's not comparable.
Every person that this alim has taken him from confusion or saved him from ignorance would be released by him from hellfire. وَمِنْ أُتَقَائِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَاللَّهُ يعوضه عن ذلك بكل شعرة لمن أعتقه ما هو أفضل لك من الصدقة.
Then, not equal to the number of the people that you have released. I repeat, not equal to the number of the people that you have released. Equal to the hairs in the body of every person that you have released.
يُعَوِّزُهُ أَنْ ذَلِكَ بِكُلِّ شَعْرَةٍ لِمَنْ أَعْتَقَهُ.
How many pieces of hair a person has? I don't know, millions must be. So, in place of every piece of hair in the body of the person who has been released, Allah gives him reward
more than giving reward for paying sadaqa bi mi'at alf qintar, 100,000 container of gold, for example, or coins.
على غير الوجه الذي أمر الله عز وجل به بل تلك الصدقة وبال على صاحبها لكن يعطيه الله ما هو أفضل من 100,000 ركعة بين يدي الكعبة.
It's better than spending so much sadaqah but in the way which is not the way which is pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Indeed, such sadaqah that you spend money in the ways which is not the best thing, it's not the way that Allah is pleased with, is a burden. Sometimes you think you are doing a good thing, you think that you have spent your money for good thing, but in the reality it's not good thing.
So instead of talking about sadaqah that can be a burden if it is not done in the best way, Imam says it's better than 100,000 rak'ah of salat in front of Kaaba.
So this shows that we cannot use figures and mathematics anymore to understand the greatness of such person.
No, this shows that we are talking about perhaps infinity. This is my understanding. These are the maximum numbers that you can say to people, equal to every piece of hair in the body, then multiplied in 100,000 rak'ah. It's, you know, beyond our imagination.
Then Allama Majlisi explains what is the meaning of qintar. He quotes from some sources that some people have said qintar is 1,200 golden coin, dinar. Some people have said more, 70,000 dinar, golden coin.
The next hadith, which is the last hadith for today, is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So far we have had from all the Imams and Lady Fatima and Rasulullah. This is from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And this is a famous hadith. You must have heard this hadith, you know, in many places.
Ulama ushi'atna murabitun بالثقر الذي يلي إبليس وعفاريته.
The knowledgeable people, the scholars of our community, are like the soldiers who are looking after the borders. You know, it's very important to secure your entire land, your entire country. But the borders are the most sensitive, because inside your territory you have your own people, but the borders are where the enemies can come and attack. So those who are in the borders, they must be very careful day and night, whether it's holiday or weekday, you know, they always have to be alert.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says our ulama, scholars of Shia community, are murabitun. They are the people who look after the borders. They are commissioned to look after the borders. But which border? Which enemy is likely to attack from that border?
Imam says the border from which Iblis wa afaritu, Satan and his allies, may attack.
This is not a geographical border. This is a religious, a spiritual border, where Iblis and his friends and supporters and followers and allies can attack
the poor Shia who don't have that much of understanding and knowledge and can misguide them or can make them careless about their faith, these ulama are careful. They don't let shaitan to attack, and if shaitan attacks, they counter-attack. If you are very strong, shaitan cannot attack. If you are not that strong, they may attack, but you are quickly to counter.
يَمْنَعُونَهُمْ أَنِ الْخُرُوجِ عَلَىٰ ضُعَفَاءِ شِيَعَتِنَا.
They don't let them to attack the weak Shia who are not very knowledgeable, not very strong.
وَأَنْ يَتَسَلَّتَ عَلَيْهِمْ إِبْلِيسِ وَشِيَعَتُهُ النَّوَاصِبِ.
They don't let Iblis and his followers, who are our enemies, who hate us, to have control.
Then listen to this. Ala, فَمَنْ انْتَصَبَ لِذَٰلِكَ مِنْ شِيَعَتِنَا.
Every Shia who undertakes this responsibility of safeguarding the ideological borders, okay,
انْتَصَبَ لِذَٰلِكَ,
he undertakes this responsibility, كَانَ
أَفْضَلْ مِمَّنْ جَاهَدَ الرُّومَ وَالْتُرْكَ وَالْخَزَرْ أَلْفْ أَلْفْ مَرَّةِ.
You know, at that time, the borders of Islam were threatened by certain nations. At that time, imagine if someone was safeguarding the Muslim territory from those people. It was very much, you know, respected and highly regarded by people. You are Mujahid, you are looking after our geographical borders.
Imam says, a Shia who undertakes this responsibility of safeguarding ideological borders is better than those people who did jihad at that time 1 million times more.
Why?
لأنه يدفع عن أديان محبينا وذلك يدفع عن أبدانهم.
That alim looks after and protects the faith of our followers, and that mujahid who carries a weapon looks after the body of our followers. The difference between deen and badan, the difference between faith and physical life, is big. Therefore, those who protect the faith of people, they are much more highly regarded than the people who just protect the body of the people. Especially because when a person loses his body, he is not actually losing that much. In the end of the day, he is shaheed. If enemies come and, you know, attack a Shia and kill him, it is true that's a loss. But again, this person has not totally lost, he has become shaheed. But if a person loses his iman, this is a great loss. If we have a Shia who has lost his iman, this is a loss. And also this affects his family. One person who is misguided in one family can create trouble for all of them. But one shaheed in one family can be a source of inspiration. So there's a big difference. So we have to look after all our borders, wherever enemies can attack, but the most important borders are ideological borders.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include us among the people who have connection to the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and to the true ulama of the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And may Allah make us appreciative of the great role of our ulama and maraj, inshallah. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive all our sins and mistakes. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase our knowledge and love for him and for Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give healing and shifa to all the people who are ill. We ask Allah to send his rahmah to all the people who have rights upon us, our parents, our foreparents, our teachers, our martyrs, our maraja. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah rabbil alamin.